Fastline Auctions, the ultimate destination for online farm equipment auctions. Looking to list equipment? Fastline Auctions knows farmers, and farmers have trusted Fastline for their equipment needs for over 45 years. With unmatched digital reach and direct-to-farmer catalogs, they can find the right buyer for your equipment. Not to mention, they have the industry's lowest commission rates. If you're looking for equipment to buy, you can bid with confidence. No buyer premiums, no reserves, just integrity. Fastline Auctions, your trusted platform for hassle-free, cost-effective farm equipment auctions. Visit Fastline.com for more information. That's Fastline.com.
Stories behind the ag brands we love and the ag brands we love to hate. What color is your tractor? With Chrissy Wozniak.
Hi, I'm Chrissy Wozniak, and welcome to What Color Is Your Tractor? The company that we're featuring today is the maker of the world's first 100% electric, driver-optional, intelligent tractor. My guest is co-founder and CEO of the company, and he has nearly two decades of hands-on experience in translating creative visions into products for startups, all the way to Fortune 50 companies alike. Since 2016, he's focused his efforts in ag tech solutions, building teams to develop and scale the next generation of robotic solutions for mobility, food, and automation. From Livermore, California, I would like to welcome Praveen Penmetsa of Monarch Tractor. Thank you so much for joining me today, Praveen.
Thanks a lot, Chrissy, for having me on board.
Yeah, and we've got some great news today. We're going to start out, though, usually an episode of What Color Is Your Tractor, we're looking back in time. So from the days of John Deere and Abe Zimmerman, revolutionizing the way that agriculture was done in those days. But today we're looking forward. Innovation and technology are once again revolutionizing the ag industry. So let's start out by talking about how Monarch Tractor was started. Where did the idea come from and who was involved?
Yeah. So, Chrissy, that's a great question, right? And it, on this momentous day when we're delivering our first tractors, it's kind of a good flashback for me to go all the way back.
Yes.
You know, back in the days when we were looking at some of the technologies that were getting developed in the automotive world, with regards to electrification, with regards to automation, and also the data and the sensors, you know, that's when, you know, I was sitting on a farm in India looking at like some of the challenges, right? There was no power, you know, and I was just waiting for the power to come back on. And that's when I was like, you know, if we actually had like one of an electric vehicles here to power the house and the village, that would be great. But then I realized that electric vehicle in an Indian village would look very out of place, right? But that's what the genesis of like, hey, but if it was an electric tractor, you know, that could do everything a tractor could and power the farm, the house, right? And together with a bunch of other tractors, power the village. Now that was a great vision. And that's what led to this story of like electric tractors. But then very quickly, we also realized that just making it electric would not be enough for farmers, right? It was important that we also address the other challenges that farmers were facing with the lack of like skilled labor, with keeping the talent that they have, the tractor drivers that they currently have on board, and also getting more alerts and insights. So that was the genesis of the electric tractor, which then became the electric driver optional smart tractor in 2018.
Yeah, that's amazing. So today you have some big news to share about the MKV. So tell me about this great news.
Yeah, Chrissy, it's a big day for all of us here at Monarch after a long, long journey. You know, we're delivering our first six tractors to Constellation Brands. They're picking up their tractors today. These tractors are rolling off of our pilot manufacturing line.
Wow.
And I'm so thrilled, right, to be here sharing this moment with your audience and with you. So again, thanks a lot for giving us this opportunity to share this big celebration where our first customers get the tractor today.
That's awesome. And this is definitely a first for What Color Is Your Tractor. We can't usually travel back 100 years or 150 years to be the day that the first ones are rolling off the line for sale. So this is a great day for us too, to actually be able to be here for this moment with you guys. So congratulations on that. And who is buying the first six tractors?
So the first customer that is taking delivery of our six tractors, all six of them, is Constellation Brands.
Yeah.
Constellation Brands is one of the largest vineyard and beer companies in the world. So they have a lot of properties here in California as well. And our first six tractors are going to go to their Napa property and start getting used right away. And Constellation is also a leader on the sustainability side of things, as well as due to their global holdings, they're very much in tune about the operational needs of their farmers that they buy their products from as well. So the fact that Constellation is our first customer and that Robert, their CEO, is here today to personally take delivery of our first six tractors is amazing. And is also a good testament to how they also see this as a game-changing event for not just Constellation, but for the whole food industry globally.
Right, exactly. That's so cool. So let's talk about the tractor itself. How long has your team been developing this tractor?
Yeah, we started Monarch in 2018. And that's when we started the company. Even though before that, we've been working on this electric smart tractor since 2013. You know, we really started Monarch with myself, Mark Schwager, my co-founder from Tesla, Carlo Mondavi from the famous Mondavi wine family, who's also a thought leader on regenerative farming, and Dr. Zachary Omohundro. So the four of us got together and started Monarch Tractor in 2018. And since then, the team has grown from just the four of us to over 250 people now with our teams in Singapore. We have a team in India. We have a team here in Livermore, California, and we're looking at new locations. So I'm very excited to be sharing this moment where all of these people have come together and worked incredibly hard, you know, the last 3.5 years to get us to this moment.
Yeah, for sure. And there has to be some interesting things that happen through development. So does anything stick out in your mind as really crazy things that have happened while you're developing this tractor?
Oh, we have a lot of them, right? When you're developing a game-changing technology, there's always these moments that are just mind-blowing, right? So I think the first one was definitely when back in 2019, we realized that our tractor could be automated, right? And autonomous with just the camera side. So I remember that day when Chris Whitney, our chief digital officer who leads up our autonomy side of things, took us out to this field and said, I'm going to show you guys that it's going to work. Okay, right, let's go see this thing working. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he could power the tractor with just the cameras was just game-changing. But the more funny thing also, Chrissy, was we had one of our AI engineers on the tractor. And you know how engineers in Silicon Valley are, right? And so this guy was in his hoodie and his sandals sitting on the tractor and trying to showcase this thing to us. And I'm like, this is like the most, dangerous, mind-numbing thing that I've ever seen. So then we had to start putting in safety things of like, hey, you can't operate heavy equipment, right? Like it's your laptop. So,
right.
But again, that was great. But the second big moment, Chrissy, was also when we took our first tractor that we built to the wine symposium, the Unified Wine Symposium in Sacramento, and we had it in a closed-off tent. And we had our first group of farmers there, and this was a momentous occasion for us, right? Because we didn't know how the farmers would react, and this was back in 2020. And we wanted to make sure that farmers saw the benefit here. And when they walked up, they saw the tractor, and our cameras recognized them, right? And flashed the stuff up on the screen, and they were like just blown away that the tractor cameras can actually recognize them and respond back to them, right? And the tractor talk back to them. It was just a game-changing
event. Oh, that's so cool.
And that's when I knew that, okay, farmers are going to be accepting this technology, right? And the farmers are ready for this. So those are the two things that come to mind. But again, we have a number of them. and I would be remiss if I say that we don't have them on a daily basis in some form or another even now.
And there are so many features of this tractor that we can talk about. First of all, let's talk about how the MKV serves as a 3-in-1 electrification tool. What does that mean?
So one thing that we realized in working with farmers right from day one, right, even when we were just seven people as a company, we hitched a tent in one of the vineyards, and that became our R&D site. And that's where our software engineers lived and kind of basically started testing the tractor on a day-to-day basis, right? And we still have that site today, except, you know, we have offices and things there. So, Chrissy, what we learned very quickly is there's what the tractor does, but more importantly, there's all the other operations that go along with the tractor. And our whole thing is it's not about the tractor, it's about the farmer and the farm operations.
Right.
So even though we are called Monarch Tractor, for us, it's more important that we allow the farmer to conduct their operations in an efficient and sustainable manner and make them profitable, right? So for us, the way we did that was by making it all electric, by making it automated, and by making it smart, the farmers get the diesel savings. And now just the price of diesel today is just through the roof. And when we started the company, it was a lot less, but even it's only gotten worse since then. So farmers get to realize the diesel savings. They get to also reduce emissions, and hopefully in a future world, they'll be compensated for that. The second part of it is they can use their existing people more efficiently without wasting their time by making them sit on this tractor in a straight line, just going up and down rows, right? Pull them off. So that gives them more efficiency with their existing people. But more importantly, the data side of it, which is the third device, right, means that we can also be targeted in where they can apply their resources. The cameras can tell them, hey, there's something going on here. You need to check. The supervisor can then directly go there and look at those things instead of going up and down, scouting the whole farm. But more importantly, our tractor now acts as not only an energy device on the farm. We are a mobile generator. We are a tractor. Right, we're also a scout. So there's a lot of different things that we do for the farmer, but all of it comes down to two things. Can we make the operation more efficient and more sustainable? And can we make the farmer more profitable?
Yeah, that's it. And that's really the starting point, right? It doesn't matter what ideas you have. If you can't, farmers deal with razor-thin margins. And if we can't generate profit through this and save them time and then what's the point, right? So that's what I really impressed with Monarch Tractor, and that you're really thinking about all of those things. And having a mobile generator wherever you go, imagine you need to do some welding, or you can just bring it right out to the field, right?
Exactly, Chrissy. And also what we saw, and this is something that we saw out in the field, right? Especially in some of these fruits and vegetables, there's a lot of operations that happen at night. So very often they're moving generators around, hooking up lights to them, right? And there's a lot of infrastructure that doesn't exist in the middle of the farm. There's no power plug for you to plug things into, right? So that means that how can we make the tractor do that for them? And now if you have an automated tractor that you can summon from the barn, imagine a generator that shows up to wherever you are so that you can plug your stuff in, right? Or a tractor that can bring things to you from the barn. Now suddenly, instead of you going back and forth four times, things become more efficient. But also in California now, farmers are having to deal with a lot of issues from power and water. The power grids, because of our fire situation, sometimes are turned off for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. But then the farmers are left without electricity at a time when they need to conduct operations.
Yeah.
So these are all things that our tractor is not going to solve, but is going to be a part of the solution. It's going to make their life a little bit easier, right, in terms of giving them some options.
Right. Yeah. And even, for example, when we were at FIRA, I was trying to do my interview with you and I had nowhere to plug in my sound and my computer. So that was really interesting when this is easy. Just plug it in right into the tractor. So that was like, wow, that's so, so interesting. I never expected just to have a regular outlet just sitting right there.
Exactly, Chrissy. And we see that all the time on the farms too, is farmers now have to gather more data, right? Whether it's for regulatory reasons or compliance reasons or because their buyers want some more data from the farm. So each time they go to the middle of the farm to do a soil sample or collect some data on the crops, you know, you need power out on the field there. So the fact that you can just take a sensor, attach it to our tractor, right? Boom, you have electricity and you can move it down the row and collect data easily. It's a game changer.
Yeah, for sure. That's really amazing. So what about this? So this is obviously an electric tractor. What about horsepower and torque? Are we losing anything there?
Yeah. No, actually, what we have seen is farmers, thanks to our combination of electric plus automated and smart, are actually looking at replacing some of the higher horsepower tractors with more of our tractors, right? The reason for that is just the efficiency in operations. So our tractor is a 40 to 70 horsepower tractor, right? We can do 40 horsepower all day long, and we can support peaks up to 70 for short bursts. That's the advantage of an electric tractor, is we can kind of give you the torque spikes, right? But you're not lugging around a 70 horsepower engine and using it for 20, 30 horsepower and being very inefficient with your diesel consumption. So our tractor is actually more efficient from that standpoint. And also when you're doing things like mowing or stuff like that, farmers are coming to us and saying, hey, we're going to buy two of your tractors, attach a mower. And since it's automated, we can run more of these operations. We don't need a 70 horsepower tractor with an 8-foot mower, right? We'll use your 40 horsepower tractor, you know, with a 5-foot mower and do two passes. And it's still cheaper for them. Wow. And when they said that to us, that was a moment for us, right? That was when we knew that, okay, you know, we are now solving the farmers' problems. You know, we're not giving them something that they have to figure out how to replace equipment or do other things. The other ones who are coming up with solutions and saying, we love this, we're going to use it in these ways. And we're like, great.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then what about the battery? What's the battery life and how long does it take to charge?
That's the other thing that right when we started the company, Chrissy, we were very cognizant of the fact that the hardware that farmers have on their farm has to last a lot longer than, say, consumer devices like cars or other electronics items, right? Mm-hmm. So when we designed our battery system, we designed it in such a way that we can provide a long life. So we provide an 8-year warranty on our batteries, which is even more than what the engines go through before the engines need a rebuild. Right, so we want to give that confidence back to the farmer that our battery is long lasting, and that's a part of our core intellectual property in how we design the battery system and how we are using it, so that the farmer can get a long life out of it, and we back it up with an industry leading warranty.
Amazing. And the tractor has the ability to be operated using your mobile device. So what aspects are integrated into the app?
The advantage of controlling things through apps and through websites is, you know, we can constantly add new features to it. Mm-hmm. But as of today, we can control, you know, a lot of the features on the tractor, right? For example, we can see what the tractor is seeing. We can see what the tractor is doing. So in terms of data, we know what the tractor is doing. We can also see what's happening in terms of the data around the tractor on the farm. And we can also see through the tractor, right? What else is going on with regards to the plants itself? So for us, those are the three things: is tractor, plants, and the farm. We can see all the data that comes off of the tractor. So when it comes to control, we have to be careful, and we have to make sure that the appropriate security layers are there and the appropriate privacy layers are also there, so that we're not being willy-nilly with the data coming off of the tractor that belongs to the farmer. So what we try to do there on the control side is we have some security regimens, but you can control the tractor. The tractor will give you alerts saying, hey, you know, there's an obstruction here, or I see something that is not right. What do you want me to do? So the farmer can actually control the tractor and the tractor operation. The farmer can pause the operation. The farmer can resume the operation, or the farmer can just stop the operation. Yeah. So that gives the farmers incredible flexibility. It also makes them efficient. But Chrissy, the big thing here that we have accomplished, and I'm very proud of, is we have done this in such a way that existing tractor drivers in the fruits and vegetables market can actually operate this. And that's what I'm incredibly proud about.
Right.
Because if you think about the big equipment that's on really large farms, right, in the Midwest, and for that, the big combines, the big tractors, they require a fair amount of training. They're quite complex machines. For us, the challenge is we have smaller tractors, and the skill set of the tractor drivers sometimes is they don't have that kind of training.
Especially these days, right?
And also, but they have a lot of insights, right? They know what's happening on the farm. So how can we combine those two things? So we made our mobile apps and our webs so graphically usable that within a few hours of training, we are seeing this with our customers, tractor drivers, is within a few hours of training, they can operate the tractor And within like 1 to 2 days, they're running the tractor in automated operation. So I'm incredibly proud of the fact that our tractor works with existing people and existing implements.
That's really great. And so does it integrate with other leading ag software that farmers and growers would be already used to?
That is our vision. Not as of today, but again, thanks to our partnership with companies like Trimble.
Yeah.
Trimble is one of our investors. So we are already doing some R&D activities, and I'm hoping that we can announce more integrations with all the other software and hardware pieces that are on a farm. That's the other thing, Chrissy, about us is we have very much an open ecosystem kind of a mindset at Monarch. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the farmer should have maximum amount of flexibility on how they use their data. If they want to take that data and use it in other farm management systems or with other implements or other hardware, we want to make it seamless for them.
Yeah.
And again, it comes back to my two things. It's not about the tractor. It's about the farmer and the farm operations. So let's give them maximum choice, because at the end of the day, the farmer knows best.
Right. That's it. Now, what about safety? So I have a Roomba at home and it gets into so much trouble in my house. So how does the tractor avoid getting itself into dangerous situations?
Yeah, that's one of the big things for us right from day one, again, was apart from making sure that the tractor is robust, provides value for the farmer, is the safety side as well, right? So what we have done is we have like multiple layers of safety incorporated into our tractor. And unlike, you know, your Roomba can cause a little bit of like, you know, damage in the house, but our tractor is a pretty large device. So especially from a safety standpoint, we have to be, the bar for us is much higher.
Right.
So what we have done is, you know, Monarch Tractor is the only tractor that has a variance from Cal OSHA in California, right, to allow us to test our tractors. We've also been working with regulatory agencies like Cal OSHA in defining what the safety parameters should be. And more importantly, not only is the technology incorporated into the tractor on the safety side, we also train the farmers on how to be safe. So a big thing for us is when you're running automated operations, let's make sure there's no people there. And that's something farmers in specialty do anyways. When you're spraying, you really don't want people on the block at that time anyways. You're supposed to clear the field out. So we are starting with mowing, spraying, hauling, these kind of activities initially, so that we can build some trust with the farmer and also test our technology in a low-risk environment.
Right.
So some of the more people-intensive jobs, right, are going to be handled in the future, like supporting harvests and things like that when there's a lot more people on the field, are all stuff that's going to happen in the future. So it's part of it is technology, part of it is training, part of it is also stepping through it with the farmers and not setting expectations that our tractor is going to solve all their problems when even in locations like harvesting, et cetera, on day one, right? We're saying, hey, use it for mowing, use it for spraying, use it for hauling. Let's get familiar with this. Let's put all the safety protocols in place. And then, you know, in the future, our tractor will play a role in all of your operations.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you've kind of had an ongoing dialogue, you know, about the rules of the road. Do you want to give people a little bit of a background on that? Because you're taking great steps.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, you know, I have a Roomba too. And very quickly, I learned after it smashed one of my table lamps because it sucked in. Now, before I run the Roomba, right, I have to prep for it a little bit by like moving all the stuff off the floor.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of a process, but it still provides incredible value, right? So similarly, that comes back to training with our farmers, getting them comfortable. But also the rules of the road are for us is, can we make sure that the farmers understand what it can and cannot do? And for that, that comes back to, you know, customized one-on-one training. So our teams actually work with the farmers on the deployment side, train their people, and then we are constantly still watching the tractor and keeping in touch with the farmers to make sure that they're following all the protocols. So on that side, again, Monarch Tractor is the leading, you know, tractor company that's focused on working with both farmers and government agencies on full autonomy. Because we don't want to do what some of the other industries have done and learn lessons the hard way,
right?
We cannot take that chance with farmers. So with farmers, we're being very transparent and we take them through this journey together. But from hour one, the farmers see value, right? Even if they put their driver on top of our tractor, they're seeing diesel savings right away. And all of our autonomy sensors make our tractor the safest tractor, even with the tractor or driver on the seat. Because if you have an unskilled driver, our tractor will actually tell you when there's a things like obstacles coming up, or hey, the incline is too steep, right? Those are all the kind of things that we can provide the farmer, even with the driver on the seat. Wow. And slowly we get them comfortable to get the driver off the seat, and then the driver managing multiple tractors. And then that's a journey that we take them along. Some of them are really good, takes a couple of days. Some of them want to take it slow and be much more careful, and that's their choice. And we walk them through it over a period of weeks before they start to use autonomy operations. But from day one, Chrissy, our tractor in our class is the safest tractor because our autonomy sensors are working even when there's a driver on the seat or around the tractor.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And when I was at Fear USA in Fresno last month, like I mentioned before, there was a lot of discussion over deep learning. First, can you define what deep learning is, and then explain the MKV's deep learning and sensing suite?
Yeah, so deep learning and is a part of some of the AI technologies that are being rolled out these days. And the question there is, how can we take data and look at what happened and then really come up with actions that follow up on that? And how can we use the data to train the tractor again? So the tractor is constantly learning by itself through the data sets that we have inside the cloud. So for example, I'll give you an exact example on our tractor is sometimes when we are driving the tractor, there might be an object that we have not recognized. But every time we don't recognize an object, we also flag that and say, hey, we failed to recognize this object. Now, how do we send that back to our training algorithms, make sure we recognize it the next time around, and then send that back to the tractor safety models saying that, oh, this object is now this. Or anytime there's an operation that had a failure mode where the tractor driver had to interject and say, hey, I'm going to make an adjustment here. We see what happened, and then we learn from that. And the tractor models are constantly updated. So this is how the tractor is actually going to get better and better and better as we go along and as we get more tractors out there. So that's one thing that I also am excited about is this is just the beginning. Today, the first six tractors that are going out is just the beginning. The moment the customers start using them, our tractor is going to get better and better and better as time goes along versus a diesel tractor that doesn't have any of these technologies and it's just depreciating.
Right. Yeah, all that is so exciting. And going back to the data collection, you're bringing in, it's so interesting because you're combining so many different technologies like drone with the cameras, just really adds a whole new element. With so much data being collected on the farm these days, how does a grower avoid that data overload?
Yeah. That's actually a big sentiment of ours too. I remember when a farmer once told us that if you give me more data, I'm going to charge you.
Right.
Because and that's something that I kept telling the team all the time, right? Yeah. In our first year, I was like, hey, this is what the farmer said. Right? The farmer said, if you just give them data, they're going to charge us, right? Because the farmer now has to parse through all of this at a time when they don't have enough people, at a time when they're pressed with the operational challenges, at a time when they're already busy, right? They're working from 4 o'clock to sometimes running online operations. So what we have done, Chrissy, is we don't try to take all this data that comes off of the tractor and just pipe it to the farmer. Our goal is to make it so easy to use that it's there and the farmer can pull on it to see what happened when there's an issue. Or we provide them reports and insights so that it actually saves them time. A great example is our daily operations report, right? It's a report that basically comes out. It's very visual, right? And the farm supervisor can look at it and say, hey, how long did the tractor run? When all did it stop? How long were the stops for, right? And immediately, the moment you look at it, you get a quick snapshot view of your whole fleet of tractors and where all the stoppages were. And then you can immediately follow up on it, or you can say, this is great, right? Let's move on. Versus parsing through all the tractor records, you know, parsing through a lot of the manual paperwork that comes in, et cetera. We have made it very visual to where you can just look at it and say, why did we have a stop here? What happened? And then just focus on that. So that's some of the reports that we are providing. The other one that we're providing is also alerts, saying, hey, something's happening in this corner of the field. You should go check it out. Yeah. And we have tried to replicate this based on what farmers are already doing, right? Mm-hmm. In specialty, we noticed that some of the vineyards, the tractor driver would sometimes stop, jump off the tractor, and put like a red solo cup on a plant because he wanted the supervisor to come back and check it because something was off, right? That there was some discoloration or there was some infestation or something was going on. So we said, hey, how do we make that easy to where the tractor driver can, you know, drop a pin,
yeah,
and the supervisor can just look at the camera data and say, hey, that's weird, right? What's going on there? Or even when, and then the next step is using deep learning. We can train the video data next time, capture those things and send an alert directly to the supervisor. So those are the kind of data things that we're trying to do instead of, you know, just giving all this data that comes off of the tractor to the farmer directly. Because again, I always go back to that. If you just give them data, they want to charge us.
Yeah, such good points. And so where you are in California has a lot of unique challenges. Not only does the state provide nearly a third of our vegetables, 2/3 of our fruits and nuts, but that's why it's called the breadbasket, right? But factors like water shortages and fires and a lot of difficult government policy and regulation as well, that makes it challenging to not only farm, but also to manufacture. So what led you to the decision to focus on California ag?
Yeah, when we thought about it, Chrissy, like the fact that a lot of the electrification began here, a lot mm-hmm. of the autonomy technologies began in California, but also we are like just less than an hour away from, you know, Fresno, Modesto, et cetera, you know, where a lot of our customers are located. You know, that means that basically this is the ideal place for us to start, you know, the ag tech transformation. Right, we can bring all these technologies together and work with farmers at the same time. So that was important. You're absolutely right. There are some challenges with respect to regulations, with respect to some of the compliance issues. But also, we got to remember that California also provides tremendous incentives.
Right, yeah.
California farmers right now can get a huge subsidy on our tractor to where our tractor is actually, you know, less than half the price or, you know, of a large diesel tractor. Right. So California farmers
really
also
support. Yeah.
Exactly. So we knew that the state also would support us. And a lot of these things, you know, usually began in California and then start to roll across the rest of the country and often rest around the world. If you think about the electric car side of things, or if you think about some of the new technologies that come up. So that makes it the right place. But also we're excited about our manufacturing partnership with Foxconn.
Mm-hmm.
And the large volume manufacturing plant is located in Ohio. So I love the fact that our tractor is designed in California, but is going to be built in Ohio next year.
Yeah.
And we're going to deliver these vehicles to farmers around the country. So that's a great combination of both technology and manufacturing expertise, right? And I can't think of how else to bridge California and Ohio in terms of designing California built in Ohio. And that's a fantastic thing for our tractor.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know today is a day you want to celebrate and really savor today. But what are your plans for expansion? Like you get that manufacturing happening in Ohio. And then what happens after that? Are you really planning on covering the U.S.? And so what are those plans?
Yeah, we have gotten a lot of interest from farmers around the whole country. And
yeah.
Now that we're delivering tractors, we expect that to pick up even more. Existing customers are starting to come back and place more orders. Because at the end of the day, this is a tractor that starts to save money for farmers in hour one and pays itself off in, you know, roughly 2 years without autonomy and roughly 4 years even without the automation technology. So farmers are excited to save money in this, high cost world, right, where they're paying a lot for diesel and paying a lot for inputs and stuff. So our next goal, once we start these deliveries, is to start We are going to start making deliveries to states outside California, and then, you know, slowly go nationwide. And by 2024, we should have a tractor available to farmers around the whole country.
Wow. Wow. Incredible. And because, you know, innovation is rapidly evolving, one of the issues that I heard at FIRA over and over again was that by the time a new product is released to the market, the software is often already out of date. And the cost of updating each machine can be a huge obstacle, which in the rental space, that's, you know, the rental and, you know, custom farming space, that could be okay. But what are some ways that Monarch Tractor is overcoming that issue?
Yeah, so on our side, the advantage we have is our tractors are also connected, which means we can update our tractors remotely.
Oh, that's great.
And we already do that. And that was something that really convinced a lot of our early customers, is not just what the tractor was doing on their farm with their people and implements. But I'll be honest, we did have challenges when we were doing these trials with our farmers. And the farmers were thrilled when we had a problem. And a half hour later, right, a new software came over the air. We updated the tractor and we were able to fix it. And the farmers were just blown away that, number one, we were able to fix it. Number two, we were able to fix it that quickly.
Right. Yeah.
And we were able to fix it that quickly while the tractor was still on the field.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, I think that's the world that we have to go to, because farmers, again, don't have the time. And when they're in the middle of operations, they cannot wait for days or weeks for a software fix to come out and have their local support person come over, flash the software, see it work. That's not going to happen. So we have to get better at that. And Monarch is leading the charge on that response time with software coming over the air and allowing us to update these things while our tractors are still in the field.
Yeah, that's so important. And then switching over to the color of your tractor. So why did you choose white? Just wasn't, you know, it wasn't a popular tractor color yet, or what?
No, and when it comes to colors, we also wanted to kind of differentiate ourselves from all the traditional tractor companies. You know, for us, we are about, you know, sustainability. We are about the fact that we're making these operations more efficient for the farmer. Mm-hmm. And we wanted people to recognize our tractor and understand that if they see a Monarch tractor, they know that this is a forward-thinking farmer, you know, who's already saving money, but also being more sustainable on the operation side. And when you think about that, our colors of, like, not only, our branding people are going to be very annoyed if I call it white, but our brand colors of, like, teal, orange, or a little bit of orange, and the gray tone that we have really allows us to set the marker down. And again, our whole goal is, this is not about the tractor as much. This is about the farm operations and the farmer. So we also wanted to have our tractor be a little less, out there in terms of color.
And in your face. Yeah, for sure. I gathered that just from being there, that this is about what the tractor is, not just what it looks like. Right. So even though it's a beautiful tractor and it's so cool to watch it just driving around without a person on it, that was really fascinating to watch those demos. So over the years, this deep brand loyalty has developed in farming, as we all know, and the color of your tractor, it really speaks volumes to other farmers. But today, with large multinational companies owning one or more colors and farms becoming larger, less focus on the farm family, it seems that loyalty by color, it might be going by the wayside. So what do you think the future of tractor brand loyalty looks like, and will you be able to leverage that going forward?
Well, no, absolutely. And we completely agree with that thesis that the color of the tractor is going to matter less and less. More and more, all of us care about the farmer, because at the end of the day, they're the ones growing our food. So I want to hear their story, right? This is not about the tractor they used. This is about how they go about farming. And when you think about the farmer and how they go about farming, maybe the tractor color should be in sync with the farmer, and a little less about the equipment they use to get there, right? So from that standpoint, I feel like the tractor color should be less and less important as we go along in the future. And it's more about farmers, what operations they did on the farm to grow the food that we're all putting on our plates, and what is their philosophy of farming. And the color of their equipment and the technologies they use is going to be a reflection of their philosophy of farming and what they stand for as a farmer, and less about the equipment that they use. So in a very contrarian way, I'm actually decreasing the value of our hardware, but saying that we are just an enabler for the farmer, and it's about the farmer story, not about the equipment story. Mm-hmm. So that's the future that we are all heading to, and this is just the beginning. And Monarch is already blazing a trail there by telling farmers, this is your tractor, and this is going to allow you to be more efficient in operations and allow you to tell your story. So,
right, that's it. It could be the only tractor that will go well with any color of implement too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maximum choice, right? It's about the farmer and farm operations. And if they want to use different implements, they should be able to, right? We should not limit them to these colors that they have currently. We don't make those kind of choices on anything else that we use, from a utility standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. So, why should farm equipment also be a consistent color? I don't buy into that thesis.
Yeah. It's very interesting. That's what I love to talk about, is all the nuances in tractor color. But so where can people find you?
So again, everybody should check us out at monarchtractor.com. Mm-hmm. And again, reach out to us. Even if, you're not, buying a tractor, it's important that we support our farmers. So please join the AgTech movement, join the companies that are working on technologies and solutions for our farmers. I would love it to be Monarch, but even otherwise, if you start an agriculture company, or if you join an agriculture focused company, that's something that will benefit all of us in our food ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And one last question for you. So what color is your tractor then? I think I can guess.
Yeah, I would like to call my tractor like a combination of like deep teal and orange is the way I describe it.
Yeah.
So, the fact that we have a white, deep teal and orange tractor is pretty cool.
Right. Yep. It's very unique too. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Praveen. What a great conversation. So interesting to learn and look forward.
Now, thanks a lot, Chrissy, and for supporting the farmers and the farmer movement.
Awesome. And and I'm just honored to be here on this day that's so important that as they're rolling off the line right then. That's pretty awesome, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And thanks to all who are watching or listening. If you want to learn more, the links are provided in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe to What Color Is Your Tractor on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, or iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Sign up at NorthAmericanAg.com or WhatColorIsYourTractor.com to have the latest episode delivered directly to your inbox, and have a great day. Thanks so much for listening to What Color Is Your Tractor. I hope you learned something new about the brand you love or hate. If you're a manufacturer who would like to apply to be featured on this show, please visit whatcolorisyourtractor.com/contact and fill out the form.